opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:05 in the morning here on the 5th of February, 605-4567 is our phone number. Good morning. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. I think we're making an app so you can put it on your phone. So you just kick it, and there you'll be, right in the middle of the show. I'm here, of course, with Jared. Good morning there, buddy.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Bright green shirt kind of gets me going here.
Yeah.
What's the weather look like? It looks like that.
Well, today it's mostly sunny with a high of 60 degrees. Tonight it will be a low of 41 with a slight chance of rain. Tomorrow will be a high of 65, mostly sunny, with a low of 43. And Sunday will be a high of 72.
Oh, my gosh. What's sunshine? Yeah. I tell you what, Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. It's going to be good. Hey, the weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business where their customers are warm friends. Chuck and Judy have had this business and have won awards for hiring veterans on the number of veterans they're hiring. So we're really, really proud of them. They have senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Now, if it's Friday, it's Pet of the Week. Haven Humane's Pet of the Week. And right now I'm watching the pet slither around Spencer's neck. You know, I'd be watching that, Spencer. You know, could be getting ready to give you the little death squeeze there.
Not this one.
Okay, as you can probably imagine, we're not talking about a puppy here. We're talking about a...
Ball python.
I mean, I could have said snake, but that's really not... I mean, that's too wide. Could be any type of snake. So this is a ball python.
This is.
And this ball python has been adopted by the not adopted, but it's been in the Haven Humane now for
about 3 weeks.
Okay.
We named her Big Bertha. She's about 4 foot long ball python. She came into our shelter due to her owner no longer being able to care for her. She's a great snake. She was well handled. She loves the attention. I mean, just all around, this is a great snake.
Well, they just had. I think the snake had little skid marks on its belly, right? Because they were racing snakes. They have snake. Do you know if they have snake races, Jared? Did you know that?
I've never heard of that.
Oh yeah, they have snake races. People breed them for speed.
Well, that's new to me.
Okay. But she's recovered from the snake race.
She has. She, unfortunately, when she came in, they didn't have her on the proper bedding, so she had some wounds on her bellies. And we had her checked out by her vet, and we took the proper precautions, and she's now all healed up and ready to go.
How do you take a snake's temperature?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure.
Just wondering. I mean, you can't get them to hold their little mouths open. I just don't think you're going to do it from the other end. So I'm just wondering how.
I don't think that there's a need to take a snake's temperature because they're cold-blooded. They're the temperature of the air around them.
Okay. That's a semi-good answer. I'm not sure I believe it, but that's good. I'll accept that. Okay, everybody. This is a 4-foot-long ball python. I'm just not going to hold this one. I mean, I don't hold most of them. But this one is attentive. Seems to have nice eyes. And could go for a family with kids under 4, probably, right?
She would fit well into any family. You know, the good thing about
she
a snake...
She probably won't knock anybody down unless she gets back in that snake racing.
Correct. So the great thing about a snake is they're a great low-maintenance pet. They really don't require a lot of attention. You feed them, you know, they eat anywhere between every 2 weeks to a month.
What do you feed them?
You feed them mice. They eat mice.
Okay, now, see, this is the second part people don't realize. Now you have to go out and buy mice.
You do, but, you know, they have frozen mice, so you don't even have to have live mice. Snakes will eat live or frozen.
Really?
Really.
I mean, but what about that? What about the thrill of the chase? I'm not sure that the snakes, you know, besides this being a racing snake, but...
Snakes, even if you're feeding them live, they normally just kind of sit still and they wait for the critter to come towards them, and then they will eat it. So they don't really hunt them down. They just kind of stalk
their
prey.
They sit there in ambush.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, now this is a... What color would you say this is? Brown and...
She's like a brown and tan.
Now, you know what? You laugh and you say, who wants a snake? A lot of people want snakes. Right,
I mean,
They do not stay long in the Haven Humane. There,
they don't. They're great pets, and like I said earlier, you know, they're low maintenance pets. We have a really really feasible adoption fee for them. So, I mean, they're just a great family pet.
Okay, so what's the adoption fee for a snake?
So the adoption fee for a snake like Big Bertha here is $40.
Does that include spaying and neutering and a chip?
No, it does not.
It doesn't include that, huh? Okay.
No.
There's no, you can't chip a snake?
I'm sure you could, but we do not.
All right. And Angel out there, snakes in the station. Ooh. You know, Angel, I'm thinking every day you go out there for that walk, you could have your snake out there, too, with the dogs. You know, take the, wrap it around your arm. Okay, how do people get a snake?
So you could stop by our shelter at 7449 East Side Road, or you could give us a call at 241-1653. And I do want to remind you about our little special we have going on.
That's right. Let's talk about that.
So we have our adoption special, our super adorable special that we have right now. In honor of the Super Bowl, it runs now through Sunday, where all dog and cat adoption fees have been reduced to only $50.
Cool. Now, is there anything else going on? Some like cats? Is that thing still going on, or is that already sold out?
It is almost sold out. As of yesterday, I believe there were about 10 spots left for the $20 cat space.
Okay. Now, what I need you to do, Jared, is take your phone and take a photo of Spencer and the snake. And we'll put that up on our website now, on KCNR 1460. We have a photos page, and we're trying to put everybody, you know, we're trying to get everybody's photos in there. And, you know, Spencer, you brought it in there already a couple of times, but this is the first time you brought a snake in that I can, no, I think.
Yeah, this is the first snake I brought. I brought a pig before.
You brought a pig. I brought that little pot-bellied pig. That was cool. Did you get a good photo there? Okay. Hey, you can go on down to Haven Humane. What's the phone number again?
It's 241-1653.
Okay, I bet this snake will be gone before the morning's up.
We hope so. And I do want to throw out there, too, we actually have another one at the shelter as well.
Another
ball python that's just a little bit smaller.
Ball pythons, now, from what I understand, are really becoming problems in the swamps in Florida. Okie-fenokie. I mean,
you're thinking of the boa constrictors.
It's just a boa, but not the ball python. What's the difference?
So a boa constrictor is quite a bit of a larger snake. A ball python, Big Bertha here, who's 4 foot long, this is the maximum size that you're going to see these.
Oh, really?
This snake isn't going to get any bigger than this. No longer. So the boa constrictors are the ones that can get, you know, six,
okay.
Eight,
well, they do have, they're having
long.
A big problem down there.
Yes.
Because of their... they're killing off all the birds and all this, and they have no enemy.
Yes.
There. And so people are out, they're actually having snake hunts where they're going out and capturing them and, you know, getting 60, 70 of them at a time. Not killing them, but just capturing them. There's that many, and they're huge. You're right, they are. They're, you know, 18 feet long.
Yes.
Jared, what?
I was just going to say, I think they have a cull every year.
Do they? They try to go through there?
Yeah, they try to get rid of them because it's an invasive species.
It's an invasive species that takes out, yeah, it takes out all the naturals. Okay. All right. Well, Spencer, thanks a lot. Let me know today if you get, if Big Bertha finds a new home.
We hope she does.
Hey, you know what? One of the, this segment's brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. And, you know, the Sleep Number has, we've been sleeping on their nationally, or their first ranked, or their best bed as ranked by Consumer Reports. Here in about over the last 2 years, can't say enough about them, except you can adjust the firmness that you want to sleep on. And if you have, like in this case where I was lifting it and kind of got a little scrunchy in the shoulders, I've been sleeping at 90, and it's 90 out of 100. So it's more firm, where Linda's Sleep Number setting is 40. So, you know, it's that kind of thing that you can do. You can get the feeling and get the firmness of that mattress that you want. So how do you do that? How do you go over and find this? How do you get that good night's sleep? You go down to the Sleep Number store over in the Target Shopping Center, talk to Brian Janis, see what they've got going down there, talk to them about the Sleep IQ technology, all of it. Trust me, you're not going to be disappointed at all. If you buy a Sleep Number bed, we have not ever been disappointed in this. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Join us for the Signature Gala event at the Cascade Theater February 12th at 7 p.m. This elegant evening begins with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, giving guests a chance to mingle and bid on the live and silent auction items, including autograph prints and posters from some of the world's most renowned musical artists. The auction will be followed by an evening filled with champagne and dancing under the lights of the beautiful historical Cascade Theater. Proceeds from the Signature Gala will benefit the Historic Theater's artistic and educational programs, as well as its ongoing preservation and restoration. For more information, call the Cascade Box Office at 243-8877 or go online at cascadetheater.org. The Signature Gala event, February 12th.
Certified produce abounds in the Orchard Nutrition Center Produce Department. All Orchard Nutrition Center produce is only watered with purified and pH-balanced water.
My name is John Moore. I've been shopping here at Orchard for 3 years now. One of the things that keeps me coming back is the produce here is exceptional.
And visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Organic Deli and Bakery, featuring custom-made sandwiches on freshly baked breads with nitrate-free deli meats. Orchard Nutrition Center's roast beef is grass-fed, grass-finished, and the cheeses are organic and RBST-free. Or choose vegetarian or vegan options, an organic rotisserie chicken, as well as delicious homemade soups and salads. And Orchard Nutrition Center features a full-service coffee bar. Orchard Nutrition Center's in-house bakery features freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and a large selection of baked, gluten-free, and vegan items daily. And now, to better serve your family, Orchard Nutrition Center is open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda, singing last night at Elements, and she's taking the well-deserved morning off. 7:19 in the morning here on the 5th of February. Good morning. 605-4567 is our phone number. It's 35 degrees right now, going up to 60. Looks like it's going to start, you know, sunshine out there tomorrow. You know, going to be getting out there. This weekend's going to be beautiful with Super Bowl Sunday. Going to be 72 degrees, 72 degrees out there. Imagine that. Hey, a lot of other things going on. The founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, which we just had on, Maurice White, just passed away. You know, how many of these musicians have died here in the last couple weeks? Have you noticed that, Jerry? You've been following that at all? He was, have you been following it?
Well, yeah, I read the news. I'm a news junkie, so I'm always following this stuff.
Well, you know, it just seems like there's been a lot of, you know, they go in threes. Well, this one seems like it's been going in fours and fives and sixes.
Oh, we had
a lot of people.
David Bowie, and then we had that guy from the Eagles.
Glenn Frey.
I want to say there was someone else, I can't remember, but.
Mm. There have been, but this one, Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire, it's only 74. A lot of these guys are dying like they're 69 or 70, but even 74 is young. Oh, but he had Parkinson's disease and retreated from the public. Even the band he founded kept performing. So they've great sounds from Earth, Wind, and Fire. Okay. Last night, we were just talking about Linda singing at Elements. And, the band she has, last night, Cleveland Bonet and Bobby Veramente's and Bruce Kahlen, but then they were joined by Lou White. And they are just, these guys are such pros. But let me give a shout out to Cleveland Bonet. Cleveland is one of the toughest guys I know. And the reason I'm saying this, he's going through a kidney stone episode right now. Yesterday morning, it was, he was just like laid out, and he says, I should call Linda. I can't move. And then he says, I'm not going to let her down. How is she going to get a replacement here at the last second? He comes out last night passing a kidney stone, which, I've never done that, knock on wood, but there are people I know, I've known people that have, and it is not a great experience. It is a lot of pain from what I understand. And there he is for 3 hours. First, sound check starts at 6:00. And they play. And I tell you, he played magnificently. And all the time you look at him, he's like sweat coming down his face. Man's in pain. And he goes all the way through. Now, you've got to have, and he couldn't take, they give you drugs for it. But he couldn't take them because, it slows him. I don't know what kind of drugs it is, but he had to play the piano. His fingers had to be moving fast and all this. So I think he even stopped that. So I want to give a big shout-out to Cleveland. This was gutsy in any way you look at it. This was gutsy. And I hope he's feeling better today. I hope he gets rid of all those things. I just can't believe how painful that is. I've never had it, so I don't have any. I've been injured a lot, but I've never had something like that where, so I don't have a frame of reference. Have you ever done that, Jared?
No, and I hope to
never
have.
No, I don't ever want that. It just seems bad. Let's talk about our friends. Costco. The big thing is we had Gary Cadden the other day, and Gary and Linda were there last night, and Gary Cadd, we're talking about, I said, well, is Costco going to happen? Well, yeah, I hope so. How can you push it and all this? Well, front page news today is the Costco developer and the city, Costco, the developer and the city are in this big dispute. The developer, it appears, wants the city to come up with like $32 million. $32 million. The developer says, no, that's just some of the things that have to be done. All these could be traffic, the traffic survey things and all this, and there'll be other people coming into the shopping center. But Starman did something. Kurt Starman, the city manager, did something that's a little strange. He released a letter, the answer to this. He says, look, we're not going to pay $32 million, to build Costco for the developer. And so we're at this kind of a quandary here, is that deal could go away. The Costco deal could go away. Now, Kurt Starman says, no, Costco will always be here. I wouldn't count on that. Costco needs to expand. They need to expand. So how are you going to expand where they're at? They can't. But they can if they go to Anderson. If they go south, they can do it. They can do it if they go south. They're having problems up north. And here we are. And so what happens is, we lose that tax base there. So I hope that there's a way that our leadership in this city can get together and figure out, okay, we need to have the Costco out there. Not only the Costco, but that Costco will bring in other stores. So you'll have a number of stores out there on the outskirts of town. The tax base is still there. So it would be interesting to see who is doing what. But they're not supposed, you know, it's, oh, no, we can't talk about that. It's all in hidden conversations. If that's the case, fine. But I'd hate to see us lose Costco because, one, it's taken so long to get Oasis being done out there. And it's just, you know, and there's a headbutting going on. If Costco moves down to Anderson, okay, that's fine too. I mean, for the citizens of this region, okay, you've got Costco there. For the taxpayers up here, it's not good because now you've just probably lost a few million dollars out of your general fund. So we'll be following that one too. Hillary and Bernie. Did you watch that last night? You news junkie,
you're
you?
Talking about, I'm a news junkie. I read it on my phone. I don't necessarily watch everything on TV.
Okay. I didn't watch it because we were out. We were at Elements when Linda was singing and at Wind River. But everything I'm hearing is that they're trying to argue about who's more progressive. And I'm thinking, good, keep that one up. And Hillary will not release the transcripts of her speeches that she's made to Goldman Sachs and other large banks. I'm considering it, but she's never done it up to now. It would be really interesting to see what Hillary said at these, you know, what she said during these speeches with Goldman Sachs. You know, the recession we've had, a lot of it was caused by banks. A lot of been a lot of changes, but so when you've got somebody that's running for president and says, "Well, I'm going to keep those banks in check," just to see, and they're paying her what, $250,000, but something like $250,000 every time she spoke. Maybe more. I'm just pulling that number out of my butt, but I thought that kind of sounded like it. The point is if they are, why wouldn't she want to release the transcripts of that speech? I'm sure would like to know what she was saying to him. I would like to know if she's just saying little things like, we should all work together, or you bankers need to, you know, take better care of your customers. I'd love to see that. Or if she was saying something else about interest rates and protecting banks and all these other little things that presidents can do or people in power. Time is 7:28 here at KCNR 1460, 35 degrees. Going up to 60 today. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Today there's going to work on, I'll find this, but there is going to be a rally for the gentleman that was killed up in Oregon. I'll give you some more information on that in a few minutes. They're asking people to come and show their support for the gent that was killed up there. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. This is Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1460, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Properties by Merit and Mary McCurdy. She is extremely passionate about working with her clients from start to finish, making sure they get a house they want. Check out her website at marymccurdy.com or give her a call at 949-1550 to find out the listings she has and what she can do to help you find that house. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
I'm excited about Second Tuesday Dinner in February because we are going to the Cottonwood Eatery, located in historic downtown Cottonwood.
That's right. With old-fashioned country hospitality, hometown food made from scratch and served up with the right amount of love and attention.
I love the friendly community feel, the ranch-style food, and the amazing desserts.
Please join us at the Cottonwood Eatery on Tuesday, February 9th, as they generously donate a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane Society work towards a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocery. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Treat your love to something extra special this Valentine's Day. Hi, I'm Allie Evers with Boheme Salon and Spa, Reading's premier Aveda Concept Salon and Spa. What says I love you more than the gift of relaxation? Give the perfect gift this Valentine's Day that shows you care. Relax, unwind, and pamper yourself and a loved one with the gift of a soothing couples massage. You and a loved one can escape the cares of the day and indulge and share in a moment of intimate relaxation. Our special Valentine's Couples Massage Package includes champagne, chocolate, and a one-hour couples massage in a wonderfully relaxing environment. At Boheme Salon and Spa, we offer a complete line of Aveda products and signature services, and gift cards are always available. Give the experience of love this Valentine's. Boheme Salon and Spa, 961 Dana Drive, or our new location at 1740 Eureka Way in Reading, located inside the Wellgate Sports Club. Experience how beautiful natural can be at Boheme Salon and Spa.
I got a dream about an angel on the beach and the perfect wind to start in the sun. Hair is flying out in ribbons of gold, and it's cause she's got the power to burn.
Streets of Fire.
I got a dream about an angel in the forest in
jail. I don't really remember too much about in between the songs, but the music was great. 7:32 in the morning. Get that going there, buddy. 7:32 in the morning here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. 605-4567 is our phone number. We've got people on the line here. 35 degrees, going up to 60 today. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Yeah, Northern Firearms Instruction teaches all over Northern California. Ted Leidy and his team of professionals, all of them NRA instructors, provide the most complete CCW training that you're going to find. And if you don't have a gun, they'll provide a gun and ammo for you and then help you pick out the right gun for you to carry. Concealed carry. You've got to be able to take care of yourself. Find yourself a good instructor. Well, they're great instructors over there at Northern Firearms Instruction. Give them a call at 999-1822 or register online at readingccw.com. Northern Firearms Instruction. Let's start with Sally. Sally, good morning. You're giving me information on... That is, as soon as Jared... Okay, are we on? Sally? Hello, Sally?
Yes, hey.
Okay. No, we were just... I switched up on Jared right then. But you've got the information on the remembrance of the memorial today, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
Oh,
we're ready.
Can I tell you?
Oh, yeah, we're ready.
Oh, you're on the air?
Yes.
Okay,
you know what? I hope I am.
The radio.
Okay, that's all right.
Anyway, yes, the family of Lavoy Finicum, who was killed up in Burns, Oregon, has asked, his funeral is today, and the family has asked for a nationwide vigil/rally for his memory to keep this issue alive so that people don't forget that he died a martyr's death. And the vigil will be held today in Reading on Bocelli Lane in Hartnell. There's a U.S. District Courthouse there, and we thought that that would be an appropriate place to hold the rally. It's on the corner on Bocelli and Hartnell, and it's going to be between 3 and 5 this afternoon.
Okay, and this isn't a State of Jefferson or anything like that. This is just for people that want to look, we remember this, and
and the family has asked for people to video it and put their video on Facebook so that people across the nation can see their support. We're asking people to bring American flags, and if they have them, the Don't Tread on Me flag.
Okay, good. So that's going to be between 3 and 5 today at the corner of Bocelli and Hartnell at that building. I assume the one there on the corner, the kitty corner across from...
Yes, the big tall white one. Yeah. That's a district court building.
Well, you know what? I didn't know that.
Yeah, most people don't.
No, because you know what? Yeah, it's probably marked, but you know, I didn't know that. Okay, 3 to 5 there. Bring your flags. And
wear patriotic clothing.
Wear patriotic clothing. All right. Okay, Sally, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Angel. Good morning, Angel. Hello, Angel. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm peachy. What about you?
Good. Really good.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
You know, you were talking about this whole, and I've read just a few articles. I'm certainly not an expert like some of the people you've had on your show. But I've been really thinking about this. And when Hammond started the fire, they were fighting a big fire in Oregon. So he started a backfire for what he claims was to save his property. It was, you know, on the BLM land where he had leased property. But he started the backfire. And my thought, the first thing I thought was the Clover Fire, that if someone in Cottonwood had started a backfire in that area, people would have been up in arms. People and as I understand it, the folks of Burns, they weren't supportive of Hammond. But I think that the people in this area would have been up in arms if this guy started a fire in the middle of a fire already working. And, you know, he was tried and convicted. And from what I understand, the judge took it upon himself to do the sentencing. And the feds came in and said, hey, wait a minute. The minimum sentencing haven't been met. So in my mind, you know, that was all probably within the realm of whatever they do. But if they came back and said, you know, maybe it is a little iffy, I don't really know. But the bottom line is that I just felt like the fire thing was just such a big impact on that community, and Hammond didn't want the Bundys involved at all. In fact, told them to stay out of it. And, you know, regardless of how old these Hammonds were, or that one of the relatives came in and said, yeah, we did it on purpose. Bottom line, I think that the fire issue was totally separate than the Bundy issue. The Bundy issue was these guys went in and took over and had plenty of opportunity to get out of there. And the sad thing is that it came down to this LaVoy shooting, whether, you know, and the debate is still out. They're investigating the fact that how he was shot and that sort of thing. But the bottom line is that, sorry, my voice is going out. But the bottom line is that this all got started over the fire.
Yeah. And, you know, and the things I've heard too is that the fire was heading toward their, you know, you see, you hear something, then you hear a little bit more later on. Like the first thing was, and I thought, how unfair is this? Was there's a fire going on and they were trying to save their land and their property. So they did a backfire, which, you know, firefighters do, you know that. But then
they
but then they have
the means to put it out.
Right. But then you hear that, yeah, but they were, you know, but they were keeping the firefighters from the area. So I also heard that one. Then there was another case, and I think they burned an acre of BLM land. And to me, I think you look at it, and of course, see, and here's the point: we're not privy to everything. We're just reading what each side's spinning. But it seems to me, if you do this and you think you're doing the right thing, but even then, okay, fine. Put him in jail, which the judge thought. And here's, we want judges to use their judgment. You know, you don't want to put a 15-year-old kid in jail for 5 years, right? Because of a relatively minor crime. You want the judges to be able to have that say so in sentencing. Yet we're forcing them into set sentences. So he says, you're guilty. Here's a felony. It's going to cost you a year in jail. And they did it. And then then come back and say, oh, no, that's not enough. It's got to be at least 4 years. That kind of bothers me. Even though, yes, that's the sentence.
True.
It's the sentencing. But the judge is there, and he sees really what's happening. He's heard both sides. And he says, you know what? The fair sentence on this is a year. You see where
that's the judge's opinion, and that's fine, and the judge should have that discretion.
I think
California,
so.
Jerry Brown is going to put on the you know, not to get away from this thing in Oregon, but in the Jerry Brown is going to put a proposal on the this year's election for mandatory sentencing to remove it, that the judge should have the discretion. Now, we voted in, and, you know, last time he was governor, mandatory sentencing.
Yeah.
Three strikes.
Yeah.
We voted that in.
Yeah.
Do we still want that? Are we going to allow these judges discretion when they do things like affluenza? And the bottom line is that they do resentencing. The feds come in and they will resentence you. Look at the
and that's not being case. That's not being tried twice for the same crime, right?
Well, Rodney King, what's that? Rodney King, those guys were off at the state level, but they came in federally and put him in jail. The cops down there.
Yeah.
So, I think bottom line is that, you know, when it comes down to me was the fire, was the Hammonds and their fire. The one kid said they did it on purpose, you know, and that evidence didn't get brought into court. But the bottom line is that no matter how you feel about it, it comes down to the fire. And I think about being here in a fire area, and if somebody would have started a fire and had done it before, if somebody would have started a fire, we would be hanging them. We would be saying, this guy needs to be hanged, you know.
Like the guy up in Weed?
Yeah, well, there, and then the guy with the the lawnmower that did the big fire a few years back.
Uh-huh.
And then you got Smokey doing their marijuana plant. So, you know.
You got Lassen Park. You got Lassen Park in the feds. In the feds burning all of Northern California. Nobody went to jail for that one.
That's exactly right. And they should have.
They should have.
In my mind.
Oh, yeah. Of course they should have. You know, but no, of course, it's the government did it. The government did it, made this mistake, and it cost people everything, and it cost so much in time and money and possessions of people, yet nobody got in trouble for that.
Exactly. You know,
it's two different things. It's two different things.
But the bottom line is that the people, as far as I, you know, read in Oregon, did not support Hammond. And then the Bundys came in on their own accord and started this big deal, and the sheriff, you know, really did try very hard to get them out and say, hey, you know, everybody. But these guys were coming and going, you know, people were sending them stuff. And the bottom line was that is not the way that, you don't hold, you don't take over a building. That's, you know, that's the stuff of, you know, really terrorists, bottom line. So.
Whoa.
My mind. I know. The word,
Whoa, Ruth. You know what? I tell you what. Here's where I think the huge mistake was, is when they stepped on the land with guns. It puts it into a completely different world when you do that. If they had taken the building without guns, just taken, hey, we're going to be here, you know, as have been buildings have been taken by students and Native Americans and all these other people. As long as there's no guns there. And the fact is that, hey, we're going to stay here. You turn off electricity and just, you know, eventually everybody goes away. With this one, it was with guns. And
and
the threat.
Detailed statements being made. Yeah. And my thought is that, you know, this is just my opinion, but my thought is that they could have done it a different way. They could have supported the Bundys. They could have brought people together to been outside the courtroom. They could have done a lot of things. But they did make poor choices. So.
Yeah. You know, Rhett Smith was on the other day, and he said biggest mistake there was the guns. And he had everything from the day it started all the way back, too. But thanks, Ruth. I appreciate that. Frankly, I forget which one of the candidates said it. He says, we don't have to worry about BLM if I'm elected because all that land's going to go back to the states where it belongs.
That'd be good.
That would be great. Oh no, that would you know what? There would be a way to handle that, and a lot of that money goes to BLM infrastructure, come right back to the states, so you can help take care of it. So frankly, it's you know, if that much land is being owned by the government, where 90% in the county is owned by the government, there's something wrong there. It's within a state, you know, within state lines there. So thanks, Ruth.
Well, you have a good weekend.
Okay.
Take care.
Yeah, you too, Ruth. It's about 17 minutes until 8 o'clock. You know, this whole shootout and all that. Somebody sent me a tape, and I'm sure everybody's seen it. It's the drone. Did you know there was a drone flying over when this thing happened? Have you seen that?
Uh, Oh, the video of the
it's a drone video.
Man being shot.
Yeah,
by the
and he comes out and his hands are up and then his hands go down. But then there's this woman who's given this dissertation about what's happening. She's showing, well, this guy over here shot him, and then you see the guy come up from behind him and shoot him. But the you know, I'm sure that they've got people that have blown this thing up and they're taking it through slow motion and all this. You know, it goes kind of down back to what we've always said, what we say to people when they get shot and they have an altercation or something like this, is don't draw a gun. Do what the police say. They've got you there. You ran away. Stop. Put your hands out the windows. Do whatever they say. And then you've got a much better chance. But if you've got them all hyped up because there's arm, you know, they know you're armed and you said, I'm not going to be taken alive and all these things, you know, frankly, it gives them a reason.
Yeah, you know, I haven't actually seen that video, but I...
It's interesting. But it's so far away, it's hard to tell if everything's happening right, like they say. So, but the bottom line on this thing is a man was killed, and they're going to have a celebration and rally today on the corner of Bocelli and Hartnell, and it's going to be at the federal court building there. So bring your flags and your patriotic clothing and go out there from 3 to 5 today. It's a quarter till 8 here on the 5th of February, 2016. 36 degrees out there. Going up to 60 today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Attention, Whose Line Is It Anyway fans? Get ready for an evening of hilarious comedy with Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood February 5th at the Cascade Theater. You've watched them on TV for years. Now witness the incredible comedy of Whose Line Is It Anyway's funniest duo, live. Tickets are on sale now at the Cascade box office by calling 243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org.
There's no point during this show do Brad and I know what's going on.
I think we're ready to get this show started.
Yes. All right.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
NorCal Limo and Boheme Spa are bringing you the ultimate in giveaways. Enjoy picking up your sweetheart in Reading's best limo in town, NorCal Limo. Then head over in style to the wonderful Boheme Spa and relax with the wonderful couples massage. Experience an unforgettable memory. Call into KCNR 605-4565 or email me, Molly, at kcnr1460.com. We will be picking a winner February 12th live on our morning show. It's KCNR's Valentine's Day giveaway.
Though, is that you need to eat the whole egg with the yolk. Now, a lot of guys, they throw out the yolk and they just eat the egg whites only because they think it's more healthier. It's lower.
Ooh, the wheel in the sky keeps on turning. I don't know where I'm
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It's 12 minutes until 8 o'clock here on KCNR Free Fire Radio. 36 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at the Civic Auditorium. You have so many things up there. The Tim Flannery and the Lunatic Fringe are back February 13th. The C.S. Lewis Screwtape Letters are going to be there on March 4th. And it's really a great, great play. So how do you get tickets for that? You give a call at 229-0022 or you check out the website, readingcivic.com. There. That's it, readingcivic.com. Don't go anywhere else, and I'll tell you why. Other people have got things that are like that, you know, websites like that, and they will charge you twice the amount for tickets. And they'll give you bum scoop. Oh, this is sold out. This is sold out. So, like, oh, you can only get these tickets. It's a bunch of crap. Do readingcivic.com there or give them a call at 229-0022. Let's go to the phones. Coach Bob, good morning.
On a lighter note, today is my birthday, Colonel.
And do you know, really?
Birthday, I wrote a little birthday jingle for myself. I don't expect Linda to memorize it and maybe perform it somewhere, but it goes like this.
Okay.
Happy birthday to me. I'm voting for Bernie. I want all that free stuff. Happy birthday to me.
And you know what? Socialism. Socialism is great until you run out of other people's money.
Yeah, well. If it's other people's money, oh well, huh?
Oh well. You know what? That's one of the things is that for some reason people, you know, they don't spend it like their money. They spend it like, you know, they've done these studies where they have, you know, about how tight you could be at spending your own money. And then spending money of people, you know, people you know. But then you get into, you know, spending, when you start getting into spending money of people you don't know, oh man, it's like the, you know, it's like the, you know, the horses are off, the race is on, like that. But
to use the Nevada analogy, it's house money.
There you go, green crack, as Daniel used to say.
Yep.
You know what,
green
Coach
crack,
Bob?
That's exactly right.
Happy birthday to you! I know you spend so much
time
entertaining the seniors and all this out there, but you're a great guy, Coach Bob. Thank you so much for listening.
Gotta be doing it again today.
Okay, buddy. You got to get out there. You know, listen to you play your. It's a trumpet, right? Or am I wrong?
Trumpet and sing. That's what I do.
Oh, good. Okay, Coach Bob, take care.
Hey, bye-bye.
All right. Okay, border chaos. Let me get into border chaos. The Border Patrol Union, the union of the Border Patrol, is saying things are in anarchy along the border because Obama has issued another edict for the border. When they catch people coming across the border like this, they used to give them these tickets. It said, you know, you have to appear in court on this date because you're illegal, you're here, you need to be appear in court. Now, they, of course, didn't track them. So it was so embarrassing that so many were not showing up in court, well over 50% were not showing up in court, that the Obama administration has now said don't issue those tickets anymore. Is the Border Patrol used to call them instead of a ticket to appear, it was a ticket to disappear because they would just go away. So now they have issued their edict that when apprehended, no ticket to appear. And they just have to say, oh, no, we've been in, you know, and they'll ask the question, have you been in this country since 2014? Now, what do you think they're going to say? Oh, yeah. Or see. And they turn them loose. Do you realize what's going on the border? That, and I know this firsthand from somebody that works along the border. If anything happens, they're told to pull back 5 miles. Some cases are not even armed, that the morale of the Border Patrol is at the lowest it's ever been. Their lives are in danger. This is the union. This is a union of the Border Patrol agents. They brought litigation against the U.S. government by the way their people are being treated. It's putting their lives in danger. But this is the latest one. So there's just anybody can come across. They don't even give them a ticket to appear. They just don't, you know, they're just gone. This is your Obama administration and the Democrats. This is what Bernie and Hillary want to do. All right? Now, does there need to be an answer about the border and this immigration crisis? Absolutely. There has got to be a plan to address this. Now, whatever your plan is the Trump to the Donald to move 12 million people out of the United States. Oh, that'll be fun. Or if it's, you know, the, you know, direct opposite of like Bernie is let everybody in, you know, they'll eventually assimilate. There's no danger down there. But there's got to be a plan. You know, the Republicans, you know, hopefully have got some kind of plan. It's like closing the border. Oh, we need a wall. We need a fence. You know, really? Do we? Why don't we just use technology? Maybe put fences in certain areas so you channel them into other areas. You know, make it hard for like 5 miles so you channel them just like you would in a military mission. So you channel everybody that's coming into to a place that's maybe a mile wide so it looks like it's pretty big, but you've got then tech all over the place to capture them, you know, to find them, spot them, follow them. And then you put, you know, you have squads of people go out there, just pick them up, throw them in the trucks, take them back, push them across the border again. Photograph them, scan them so your faces can always be identified, all those kind of things. Chip them, you know, what, maybe behind the ear, like you do, you know, like you do the, what? I can't do that? We do, you know, we can track a calf that's born in the wilds of Ontario, Canada, track it to some place in Arkansas, and we can't track illegals here, some of them who probably are terrorists. We can't track them. So you're saying I can't chip people? Is that what you're saying, Jared?
That may be a bit extreme. I don't know how feasible that would be. But.
Well, it's very feasible. You just stick the chip in there. And then when they walk through places like, you know, Costco or Walmart or any of these places, it goes, illegal. What's wrong with that? I don't know, people, okay, maybe I'm being a little, if, you know, it's a good thing Linda's not here. She'd be pounding me on the shoulder right now about that. We have a new veteran service officer, by the way, Tommy Key. I'm sorry. He's an Army and Air Force veteran. He will be on the show Tuesday morning. We'll be able to talk to him and find out where he is coming from. I talked to Dave Lamford. Dave Lamford and I are good friends. But I can really upset Dave sometimes. Sometimes I take I see humor in too many things, right? When sometimes to other people it may not be that humorous. So I really, really ticked Dave off the other day. He didn't hang up. He claims he didn't hang up. He didn't hang up. But you know, it was all solved by the time, you know, it was over, because I was kind of poking fun at things. Tommy Key looks like he's got, you know, other people have met him, say this guy's a solid performer. So that's what we need. We need somebody that's going to last longer than 6 months, first of all. And we need somebody that really wants to help the veterans. Somebody that's out there that, you know, that they're going to have, the hours are going to be there, they're going to have all that. Anyway, Dave Lamford and Tommy Key are going to be here Tuesday morning, and we're going to talk to them about what's going on at the Veterans Service Office. I know it's important to everybody. So many veterans out there that really, you know, they're helping people all the time. When all of this was going on, you know, trying to keep the Celestina, from what I understand, was keeping the office going and all these things while they're trying to work their way through all these different people. But we'll find out. We'll find out, and we'll be able to talk to him, ask him questions, see where his interests lie and where he wants to go. It's about 3 minutes until 8 o'clock. Congressman Doug Lemoff will be calling in at about 8:05. You know, I've got two things I really want to talk about. You know, on the news, I listened to our news in the morning, and I heard Bob. Bob, when he reads the news, he reads what's in the news. I mean, he doesn't get a spin or anything on it. And I say, I don't ever want to hear again, you say, because it's my show, our station, I never want you to hear that the unemployment rate is 4.9. It's not true. It's not true. It's a lie. It's not the whole story. It's 4.9 of people that have been looking for jobs for the last 4 weeks. After 4 weeks, they go into another group. And when they get into that other group, they're not counted. And so when you add up all the ones that are over 4 weeks, that group, and the ones after 12 months. Now, after 12 months of looking for a job, they just completely fall off the radar anyway. And then you talk about they don't talk about the underemployed. Like people who haven't worked two jobs, or you've got a degree in engineering and you're working at In-N-Out. In-N-Out's a great place, but that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You want to work in engineering. They don't count any of those. So if you add all those in, it comes up to over 9%, 9.5%, maybe even higher. And that, you know, in our labor force, so many people have dropped out of the labor force. It's the smallest it's ever been. So, oh yeah, it's only 4.9 of the smallest labor force it's ever been. Because of the economy that's still in ruins in many cases under this administration. So, you'll never hear the just the U3 number. It'll be U3, U6, and others that have fallen out on the station if we even ever talk about the quote unemployment rate again. It is just smoke and mirrors. And why people tout this and why the media, major media, all of them go, oh, it's 4.9. Look how much better it is. Oh, we didn't make as many jobs this month, but there were so many in December. Excuse me, Christmas, you know, part-time jobs. All right. Okay, hey, when we come back, we have news, some commentary, and then Doug Moffa, Congressman LaMoffa, will be calling in, and we'll talk about some of the things that are going on in Capitol Hill, like who supports what out there. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. In New York City, one person is dead, two others seriously hurt after a crane collapse in lower Manhattan. Authorities say the falling structure smashed the roofs of parked cars as it crashed onto the street. The accident took place in Tribeca neighborhood. More snow this morning for parts of the Northeast. National Weather Service forecaster Patrick Burke with a panoramic view of the nation's rough weather.
There's some rain and snow in the Northwest. Nothing unusual for the time of year. There are some high winds coming into the plains, the northern plains around the North and South Dakota today. But otherwise, it's the East Coast where we'll see weather systems spinning up over the next 3 to 4 days.
The mayor of Boston has closed schools for the day as a precaution. Police in New York City say two officers patrolling a housing project were shot and wounded by a man who apparently later took his own life with last night.
It's another example of what our officers confront every single day, keeping us safe, not only on the streets of New York City, but in the stairwells and the hallways of our public housing developments.
Police Union President Pat Lynch asking for officers who were shot. The officers had been patrolling last night in the stairwell of a housing project in the Bronx. The U.S. trade deficit rose in December as American exports fell for a third straight month. But report reflects the pressures of a stronger dollar and spreading global weaknesses. The December deficit increased 2.7% to a grand total of $43.4 billion. U.S. employers adding just 151,000 jobs in January. That's a major deceleration from recent months as companies shed education jobs, transportation, and workers. Reaction has been mostly negative on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average right now off by about 179 points. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 down by 35. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Ted Cruz, nice to see you, sir.
Ted Cruz goes on the record with Greta.
So let's provide some absolute clarity. Senator Rubio supports amnesty. I oppose amnesty. Senator Rubio supports citizenship. I oppose citizenship. Senator Rubio supports legalization. I oppose legalization. Senator Rubio joined with Chuck Schumer to fight for the Gang of Eight. I joined with Jeff Sessions, Steve King, and the American people, and we defeated the Gang of Eight.
Ted Cruz did what he promised voters by standing up to the Washington establishment and boldly opposing amnesty for illegals. Chris Wallace asked Rush Limbaugh about Ted Cruz on Fox News Sunday.
First of all, Ted Cruz,
brilliant
and conservative through and through, trustworthy, strong, confident leader, and somebody in whom you can totally depend.
Ted Cruz, the candidate conservatives can trust. Paid for by Keep the Promise One and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. KeepThePromiseOne.com. Keep the Promise One is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Florida Governor Rick Scott says that the state now has three new cases of Zika, so he's adding a fifth county to his health emergency declaration. The state's Surgeon General John Armstrong says it takes about 24 hours to get results back from tests to determine if somebody has been exposed.
What we do is to counsel people that in the interim, it's important that they avoid contact with mosquitoes. So stay indoors, we get the result, and then that sets the path forward for the individual patient.
Governor Scott says the state is preparing like it would for a hurricane, for example. He wants residents and tourists alike to know that Florida is safe. A police plan to keep people awake for their own safety on the subway is not going over well with some riders in New York City. One passenger calls it ridiculous, noting that many people get home late and they try to grab a nap on the train. A homeless advocate says it's open season on the homeless. Police Commissioner William Bratton points out that more than half of subway crimes last year involved a person who was sleeping on the train. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Chicago police are investigating what led to the deaths of two children, two women, and two men whose bodies were found inside a home in the city's south side. Police say the victims suffered blunt trauma. They appear to be members of the same family. At a Donald Trump event in New Hampshire last night, a woman interrupts to criticize Trump's call for a crackdown on illegal immigrants.
They do work that no one else wants to do, and for a lot less than money.
Trump suggesting the woman was there perhaps at the bidding of Bernie Sanders.
Who told you to be here, Bernie? This is... No, this is a Bernie plan.
Trump on the campaign trail at the historic Exeter Town Hall building. Apple for the first time accepting banged-up iPhones as a trade-in for people wanting to upgrade. Until now, Apple offered credit to iPhone owners only if the device had an intact screen and working buttons. More of these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda. Linda is on sabbatical this morning. She was singing late last night at Elements Lounge in Wind River. Great night, great crowd. 8:05 here in the morning on the 5th of February. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at kcnr1460.com. Jared, what's it look like for weather today, buddy?
Well, today's going to be mostly sunny, high of 60 degrees. Right now it is a balmy 36. Tonight it's going to be a low of 41 with a slight chance of rain. Saturday, high of 65, low of 63.
Sunday, 72 degrees sun, and it's Super Bowl Sunday, so you can walk around with your shirt off.
It'll be a glorious day.
A glorious day with Peyton Manning marching up and down the field. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans. A veteran-owned business, Shasta Gas Propane. Let's go to the phones. This is our – is this Susan Eastman?
Yes, it is. Good morning, Carl.
With our Market Minute.
Well, the major averages are retreating this morning after the first Friday labor report. The U.S. added 151,000 jobs in January, while analysts were expecting an increase of 190,000. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 198 points at 16,218. The S&P 500 is down 22 points at 1,893. And the NASDAQ Composite is losing 108 points at 4,400. Active stocks on the NASDAQ, Apple down $1.15, trading at $95.40. Amazon down $27 a share at $508.50. Tesla off $9.45, trading at $165.79. For local stocks of interest, PepsiCo down 35 cents at $97.03. PG&E down 47 cents, trading at $55.86. And AT&T up 23 cents at $36.76. In the bond department, the treasuries are lower this morning. The 10-year note is priced to yield 1.87%. And for commodities, gold is up $1.90 an ounce at $11.59. Silver up 4 pennies at 14, and crude oil trading positive 16 cents at $31.88 per barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Susan, thank you so much. We really enjoy these, kind of keep us going what's going on. So have a nice weekend. Oh, and we've already lost her then. Okay. See, who else we have? Rolling. Somebody else was rolling in here. Okay, we're just waiting for Congressman LaMalfa's phone call here. Have you been reading about this Zika? Have you been reading about Zika, this disease that's just rampant through Central America, South America, and Brazil?
Yeah, Brazil. It's really prevalent.
Really, it's
terrible.
Yeah, you know, the problem is that that's where the Olympics are going to be.
In six months,
they're going to put people from all over the world. And let me tell you something. First of all, already, when you get people from all over the world, you get sickness. And I'll tell you why. It's because everybody from these different countries have different types of things that they, you know, that they handle in their country. Because, I mean, they're just grown up. But what can happen is that when they are, you know, this free exchange of people shaking hands and hugging and all this, people get ill. And you can see it at, like, military bases when people are converging from all over the world and that there's a sickness that kind of runs through there. Like, a lot of times little kids, it hits little kids. Just because you're not used to the type of environment that they're coming from. They may have a germ or something that is fine with them. You know, they've lived there, there's no problems. But when it hits you, you have no defenses against it right away. So, there's a chance for illness. But this Zika, from what I understand, is traveling fast. It's already here in the United States. They're seeing another 600,000 cases in South America coming up that the World Health Organization is saying there is no vaccine against this. So, you know, they're going out to try to eradicate mosquitoes. And someday somebody can explain to me why you think there should be mosquitoes anyway. I'm sure there must be a reason for
why
that.
Why is there poison oak?
I'm not sure why there's poison oak and mosquitoes. I'm not sure why there's mosquitoes. I just, you know, maybe it's just to keep the population down. But if it is, it's, you know, it's working. But here they're saying, well, the Olympic athletes should be okay unless, get this, unless they're pregnant. Now, I don't know how many Olympic athletes are going to be pregnant and competing.
Probably zero.
Well, you know, it's maybe it just...
Well, there might be a few that just don't know.
Just don't know.
Right.
Which is, you know, that's scary, too. But what about the other people that are coming there to watch the Olympics? They've had their tickets for years, you know, and they're there and they've got everything. But, my gosh, they're pregnant. You know, a couple months pregnant and they're here. And, I mean, I would not... If I was going down there and my wife is pregnant, we'd just cancel it right there. It's not worth the risk of getting her ill or the baby, to have the baby attacked by these viruses. But here's the thing: they're finding out all these different things. Oh, it's, you know what? It's a blood disease, and it's carried by mosquitoes. But they're also finding it was passed sexually in a case here in the United States.
In Texas, I believe. It
was done sexually, so it's an exchange of fluids then, like HIV.
Right.
Except this. Is and if you're not pregnant, it's not a big thing. But if you are, just imagine what can happen here.
Right.
And there's no defense because we're letting people come across that border, just like, you know, as we already talked about, just like a sieve. But then again, trying to keep mosquitoes. I mean, how do you keep mosquitoes out? You can't. But people are carrying the disease are coming in. It's a little scary.
Yeah, it's a scary thought.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that. It just hit. I mean, all of a sudden it was there, and you hear some cases down there, and you know, okay, in South America and Brazil, it's pretty far away, so you kind of like think, well, maybe that's not a big thing, and then you find out that no. I mean, by the way, it's in the United States, and by the way, you have cruise ships going there, and with today's global travel, you know, people coming in and they've got it, and they can share it with all of us. So, let's see what happens on this. Well, I tell you what, we have. We have Congressman Doug LaMalfa on the phone. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, how are you doing, Carl?
Well, we're doing great. You know what? We are doing great. How are you?
We are doing great.
We are doing great, you know? Every day you wake up and you're looking down at the grass. It's good, right?
Down at the grass and you're standing on American grass doing it.
There you go. You know what? You know what? That is true. And, you know, it's not like everything is perfect, but you know what? We got a fighting chance.
When you got people running things, you're not going to get perfect, right?
You're not ever going to get perfect. Remember, you know, no matter how perfect the plan is, the first time, when the first bullet goes down range, the plan
exactly.
Changes. Everything else changes. So what do you think about New Hampshire, Congressman? I'm not New Hampshire, but Iowa.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was there.
You were there?
Yep. I left a day early to pop in on the way across the country, and so it was it's fascinating. That's the first time I've ever been to that or in that process like that, and so I was surrogate speaking for Marco Rubio, so we picked out a spot in Council Bluffs, Iowa, which is on the very western edge across the river from Omaha, Nebraska, so flew into Omaha after some... Actually, our Southern California weather made it hard to get out of here on Sunday, and I enjoyed sharing with them back there because they were on the cusp of a blizzard while I was there. But so I went to this beautiful high school they have there in the Council Bluffs area there, and spoke to about three different assemblages of people as they were getting ready to go do their caucus balloting, and it was a neat experience. And so,
well, Marco Rubio really bounced up. He came on strong there.
Well, as the field winnows down a little bit here, you're going to have different voters looking for different things that, you know, their decision process is such that there's still a variety of candidates in the way they conduct themselves and their temperament, things like that, that they're going to look at as who their best choice is and who can carry the flag well in November, not just now during the primary season. So I said that to the group there. I said, I don't have anything bad to say about the other candidates. I don't think that helps us. You know, I think
no, I don't think it does either.
I'm speaking for the candidate I'm getting behind here, and one of them is going to come out of this thing. Somebody's going to win this thing. And so I asked the group. There's probably, you know, 300 people in the room. We're all going to get behind whoever that is, whoever he or she is, aren't we? Yes, yes. And some couple were a little reluctant, but you know, I got a lot of nods and approvals of that because you know.
Well, they have to. We have to.
Yeah. So whoever the Dems put up, whether it's Bernie or Hillary, if she's not indicted by then, and I'm still expecting that the way this stuff is sticking to her, we're going to see Joe Biden ride out of the woodwork on his white horse sometime in July, and be the conquering hero. It'll be a giant news story by then. So everybody would say, "Oh, he hasn't done any of the work." Like, no, he doesn't have to, because if the Dems all just immediately switch to him, boom, then he's got momentum going in November. It'll be an interesting story. He'll be formidable. So we can't get lax just because it looks like maybe to the Republican viewpoint they've got terrible candidates. That you got to run through the tape in November.
Yeah. So. Our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. We got to take a quick break here, Congressman. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 8:15, 8:16 in the morning here on the 5th of February. 36 degrees out there, going up to 60 today. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. We'll be right back.
Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Mews with Northern Lights Energy. Happy New Year's. Kathy says we got more heaters coming in, and Johnny's been doing a lot of estimates and installs every day. So if you're tired of being cold, give us a call. Toyotomi kerosene heaters and on-demand hot water heaters. We also have a few used heaters for sale with great warranties. Danny's got the delivery trucks working every day, so check your tanks and give us a call. Northern Lights Energy. If you're tired of talking to answering machines and never getting your deliveries on time, give us a call. We don't have a salesman. We just have a lot of warm, happy customers. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, see Joe. In Redding, see Cody. He's the propane king. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Join us for the Signature Gala event at the Cascade Theater, February 12th at 7 p.m. This elegant evening begins with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, giving guests a chance to mingle and bid on the live and silent auction items, including autographed prints and posters from some of the world's most renowned musical artists. The auction will be followed by an evening filled with champagne and dancing under the lights of the beautiful historical Cascade Theater. Proceeds from the Signature Gala will benefit the historic theater's artistic and educational programs, as well as its ongoing preservation and restoration. For more information, call the Cascade Box Office at 243-8877 or go online at cascadetheater.org. The Signature Gala event, February 12th.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm excited about Second Tuesday Dinner in February because we are going to the Cottonwood Eatery located in historic downtown Cottonwood.
That's right. With old-fashioned country hospitality, hometown food made from scratch and served up with the right amount of love and attention.
I love the friendly community feel, the branch-style food, and the amazing desserts.
Please join us at the Cottonwood Eatery on Tuesday, February 9th as they generously donate a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane Society work towards a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
I'm gonna dream about a rainbow.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 20 minutes after 8 here on Friday, the 5th of February. 36 degrees out there, going up to 60. Going to be a beautiful weekend for Super Bowl Sunday. 605-4567 is our phone number. We have Congressman Doug LaMalfa with us. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive with Espresso Joe's, and then the finest tobacco emporium right there in Northern California, Tobacco and Brew. Veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's, and they have it all at Tobacco and Brew, veteran-owned business that does so much for our community. Open 7 days a week at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and Congressman, if you've been, you know, if you've been following what's happened, I don't know how you can't be, but following what's happened out there in Oregon.
Yes.
The one of the candidates, and I'm not sure which one it is, has said that if he's elected, he would give all the land that's under the BLM, all this land that's owned by the feds, back to the states.
Well, again, that's. Like you said a minute ago, you can have a battle plan, and once the first bullet flies, everything changes. Okay.
Yeah, you know.
So I don't look for any candidate for any office to come in with their 12-point plan. We're going to do this and this and this or that and that, because any president is going to have to go through Congress to do it. Now, I wholeheartedly agree with that. So I think that we need to devolve a whole bunch of federal lands back to the states. Make some of it available to private entities that would like to buy that land, because I guarantee you any of the timber companies following the prescribed timber harvest plan processes, like a very, very restrictive one we have in California, a little easier to deal with the ones like in Oregon and Washington, will be better stewards of the land by miles than what the U.S. Forest Service is doing or not doing. And so BLM, you know, you talk to some ranchers in some places, it depends which BLM unit it is. They have pretty good relationships with them. In other areas, they got somebody they get hired in there that's one of those, you know, bright-eyed believers that doesn't want anybody on what they think is their land. So the ultimate goal here is going to be to devolve some of that property back to that level. You know, some states, they came into the union, were required to give up a whole bunch of land as the deal to the government. And so you hear a lot of things out there saying that it's completely illegal for the government to have this land, the federal government, or that it shouldn't have that land. And well, there is state agreements that came in where this occurred. So a little amount of that needs to happen. But that's what I'd hope to do coming in 2012, is to have someone start moving this land back into state or private hands, away from the mismanagement of the federal government. But to do so, Just a small thing where we had legislation to have a small amount of BLM surplus property to go back to one of the tribes in the district. It was only, you know, a couple hundred acres, and that takes a big effort in a legislation process in Congress to get that done. So, you know, what's the deal here? Why does it have to be so hard? Because the federal government doesn't want to let go of anything, any responsibility, any ability to control things. So I think any of the freedom-loving candidates would be for that, whether you're running for president or whatever. So go ahead.
You know, the other thing, too, I mean, when we talk about BLM, I think, do you think all the candidates would take a look at, and I know you can't speak for him, but you probably know Rubio better than most people do. So, you know, you're on his team. Is that, what about just kind of shrinking all of it down and giving it back to the states? I mean, you know, we talk about Department of Energy, talk Department of Education, all these things that started, you know, with all these great intentions 40 years ago, but now are multi-billion dollar holes we keep pouring money into that nothing seems to be working.
I think there's a pretty good consensus on that. And again, I know Marco feels that way. He's spent time with ag groups, but I know what you're not looking for is me coming on and doing an advertisement for Marco the whole time.
No. I'm just saying is that this smaller government, this is what everything the GOP preaches. But I have not heard people say that specifically. Oh, yeah, this is going to be whacked down like this. I mean, I think a lot of people would like to hear something like that. That, you know, during my 4 years, from any of them, where I'm going to shrink the government by 10%, something like that. I mean,
well, again, is a 10% number the right number. You know, you get into the process here, and you do what you can. Now, with a Republican president in the White House, we can do much more than we've even thought about doing the last 3 years. You know, again, when I came in 2012, following that election, pretty ambitious of some of the stuff we can do, because I thought it looked like most of the country thought Mitt Romney was going to be the winner. You know, the polling, what have you, for the first 4 years of Obama were certainly not indicated that he should be reelected for a lot of people who come to that reality. And so, you know, you think, well, we're going to be able to start doing some of these things. And, no, we got way late on that. So we spent 3 years, you know, either playing defense or getting incremental gains on issues such as Obamacare, which people have been pleading and yelling for my whole time and before. Well, we actually, you know, cracked the code and got an Obamacare repeal a lot of elements on the president's desk. We got it through the Senate with 51 votes instead of 60 because we used budget reconciliation process, which, you know, is, I don't need to go into right now. But
yeah, it just takes 51 on that one.
That's the way it took 51, because it doesn't do the whole thing. It just has specific criteria on budget-related things. Anyway, so we got that through his desk. Well, we promptly vetoed it within 2 hours. But what that is showing people, what we're trying to get across, is that we have the recipe to do that. A good majority in the House, 51 that will vote for it in the Senate, and putting it on the desk of a president that would actually sign it. You know, it has his name on it. How realistic is it he's going to vote to gut most of it? Now, what people forget, though, is that at least 7 different bills have passed during that time to refine and do little things and provide some relief in areas of what Obamacare was really hurting some people there. So, you know, we've got some incremental pieces back, but the problem was that it got passed by a Democrat majority House, a 60-vote Democrat Senate that he had for about a year and a half, and the president was willing to sign any stack of papers said health care reform on it. So, you know, that happened in that 2-year window.
Well, hopefully that's, you know, there's parts of that plan that I think are probably, I think they need to stay, but there's so much others that's just, I mean, if you talk to any doctors around here, if you can find one, it's a problem. Hey, we've got a caller on the line. Billy Bob, do you have a question for the congressman? Hello, Billy Bob, do you have a question for Congressman LaMalfa?
Oh, yes, thanks for taking my call, Tom.
You bet.
Hey, listen, I need to really focus on this Klamath River dam removal. It's hitting the press, and they're going to go ahead and apparently make the biggest mistake possible in removing those dams, and that cannot be allowed to happen. That would be absolutely devastating to that river and the ecology, and there is no good science to prove that it needs to happen, and the money is allocated through the feds, and so I wonder what your opinion is and whether you're going to stand firm and not let that mistake happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy Bob.
Thanks, Billy Bob. I'm in agreement with what you're saying there. They approached us with the need for about $180 million a couple months ago in order to implement it. Of course, we're being told that they already have the money. So far what they've done is soak the ratepayers on the Oregon side, by the time it's played out, for $200 million in increased rates to put the money into that pool. Now, California taxpayers are going to get hit with $250 million out of, get this, the state water bond. It's going to allocate this is what Governor Brown put in his budget this year. He already wants to get going, taking $250 million of borrowed money that could be going into anything, highways, water storage, you know, money we don't have. And instead, he wants to throw our money in to help remove those dams. Well, if it's Pacific Ores dams, and maybe Warren Buffett should be putting the bill for that. He doesn't want the liability. The liability, they want to shift either the federal government or the state. So we'll be wrestling with that as we go along. But the plan doesn't really kick in until 2020. Hopefully we have a new president in 2017. But, you know, they want to get this thing going. They want to get those things torn out. And there really is, as you mentioned, Billy Bob, there isn't a lot of science with how this. It keeps coming back to me. The whole premise is it's supposed to help fish. It's supposed to help the flows of water that somehow would help fish in that. That is a warm lake with a warm stream. It's marginal as it is, even if you could helicopter all those dams out completely today and not have the hundreds of thousands of tons of silt that are behind those dams. You go down the highway by a highway project there, you see all the fussing they do to make sure no silt gets into a drainage ditch to a river 15 miles away. They don't want any silt getting anywhere. They've just swept away the idea that, oh, this silt isn't a problem. We've done some testing on it. We're just going to let it go. Really, people? Hundreds of millions of tons, or, I mean, excuse me, hundreds of thousands of tons of silt are just going to go from here all the way to the ocean down the Klamath River and not have any turbidity problem, no, you know, I mean, so they're just trying to sweep that way because they want these dams as trophies on their mantle.
Well, you know,
so it doesn't make any sense. They won't talk to us about alternatives like trap and haul or other experimentation. They want the dams out. And we also have mandates in California now because of the silliness of the state legislature. 50% of our power, not just 33%. It'll be up to 50% now of our power has to come from renewable resources, which hydroelectric, a lot of that is renewable, but also most of the renewable we see going in is either solar or wind power. And we know the story behind those, that they're not reliable. You can't just turn them on when you need them. Hydro, you can't. They want to take this hydro down out from 70,000 homes and instead going to replace it with, get this too, out-of-state power. I asked the Pacific Corps rep at a town hall. So are you going to, when you pull these dams out, are you going to rebuild in our same district or even in California the replacement natural gas projects? No, we're not going to build those. We're not going to build hydro somewhere else. They're just going to build it somewhere else out of state because it's too hard to do business in California. So we have until 2020 before stuff really starts happening. And if we get a little more friendlier White House out of this, maybe we can find measures to get them to rethink this thing.
Okay. Hey, our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. It's 8:31 here in the morning. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. Time is 8:31. 36 degrees out there, going up to 60. Weather report's always brought by Shasta Gas Propane. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
A pretty girl can make young men look foolish. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. We had just repaired Julia's car, and she said, "I don't know anything about cars. Could a friend inspect it for me?" About that time, three young men arrived. Of course, their individual goal was to impress her by finding something wrong with the repair. The first guy said, "There is a blemish in the fender. This is not acceptable." "Yes, I see," I said. The second said, "The quarter panel is wavy. This also is not acceptable." "Yes," I agreed. The third scolded me. "If you look closely, you will see this door is perfect. This door should be the standard for the entire vehicle." I agreed, and they were surprised. We walked back to the waiting room. Julia smiled at us. I said, "Well, we looked it all over, and we all agree. The door we repaired is perfect. Right, guys?" Yes, someone replied. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. No.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Music from Streets of Fire. Great movie. I'm not sure what the movie's about, but the music's super. 8:33 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue. Veteran-owned business where it's man's last stronghold, the best haircuts in town, the cheers of barbershops. You're not going to find a better place to get your haircut than Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. There. And this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. That's where I buy my guns. Why? Because these guys get great customer service. They have everything I ever want. They've got every accessory you can possibly think of. They're at Bastiani Arms. Locally owned, locally operated, and veterans get great discounts at Bastiani Arms. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Give them a call at 222-8222, 2539 Larkspur. Our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, good morning. I was just enjoying that Coachmaster ad there. Is
like
that Don doing that?
Yeah, Don Steck, yeah.
So maybe I can have him be a surrogate for me when people think I voted for something I didn't vote for, or there's stuff not in a bill that they think that the Internet has told them is in the bill. That was great.
Well, I just saw something in there that says, got to watch your Internet news. I don't know how many times I get things that people say, and on the top of it says, this is true. And I go back and say, how do you know it's true? And, you know, and then they say, well, I'm just passing along. Okay. We have a caller with a question for you. It's Terry. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Carl?
Well, I'm glad we got you back on the phone. You know, sometimes we push wrong buttons. What can I say? Okay, you have a question for the congressman.
I do, yeah. With the new president coming in, and hopefully one of the candidates we have on the Republican side, you were saying that when that new president comes in, he'd have to go through Congress if he were to give the BLM land back to the states. And then a little while later, it's, the president basically gets all this other stuff through, and we're talking about the dams. Jerry Brown came out in the newspaper and virtually said that we don't care what anybody says, we're taking the dams out. And one last thing on the dam, according to my conversation with Jim Nielsen, there's $200 million set aside that could be used for anything impeding the path of a fish. They took dams out, but wouldn't a dam be a fish impediment as far as their travel goes?
I don't follow the last part. If they take the dam out?
Wouldn't they take a dam out because a dam could be considered with that $200 million?
Yeah. If they leave it in place, that's the whole thing they're banking
on. That's the impediment, right. That's what I'm saying. So they have $200 million that would...
Yeah, state bond money. They had a pool of money before.
Right.
The bond, as it was originally written, had $250 specifically for the Klamath dams. And when it got redone, it was more of a vague money that can go from the state bond to any type of that project. Well, Jerry went ahead and did $250 in his budget hearing a week or two ago. So, if we have a mechanism to stop, what it is now, it's been the president's appointed people in the federal agencies that keep, the Department of Interior, they want to do that, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, they're big on this. It's also the Energy Regulatory Commission. They have to relicense that. Well, any day you want to get a license from government anymore,
you
become a smorgasbord of things that they want to come take from you in order to have your operating license. It's pretty blatant. So, when the executive power to send these people out and keep doing these things is reeled in with somebody else that's a little more friendly towards what people need, then we can take the wind out of the sails of Department of Interior. We can start straightening out FERC a little bit here. Legislation is going to be required through Congress to do pieces of this, partly on the water rights and some more technical stuff that really isn't about the dam removal itself. So...
That $250 million.
Can we legislate against that? Or is it, the bigger issue, Terry, is that a reform of the Endangered Species Act to where these courts and these, you probably heard about, there was a bunch of water released down below in the middle part of California where they had some steelhead and some water manager thought we better release 15,000 acre feet two different times because we're afraid the ESA means that and we don't want to get sued and get in trouble.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that are wound together in this and what goes on, but we'll be looking for tools to block what they're doing up there because I'm still firmly opposed because I don't think this helps.
Sure,
fish, which is the whole premise of the thing.
I guess what I'm saying is, in a nutshell, is that the governor, as the president has done with Congress, is saying we don't care what you say, we don't care what you do, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want. And if that's the attitude now, then you would think that the president that would come in that wants to do things to give the states back their rights, you would think Congress would back them. It wouldn't be a matter of them trying to get through Congress, but Congress backing them, wouldn't you?
Well, absolutely. If we have a president that's friendly for it that will sign the legislation that me and others in the Natural Resources Committee are trying to advance, we'll be leaps and bounds ahead. We have a lot of ambitious ideas in the Natural Resources Committee about putting some of this Forest Service and BLM land back in charge by private parties or the states, working with tribes, whoever. Anybody who wants to manage this land property and give people some access is going to be a win. So Congress will be eager to do that. with somebody a little more friendly towards doing it, because you see our burning forests, you see lack of access. We get these resources from somewhere else. Why not do them under the prescribed laws and safeguards we have in this country and do it wisely? So okay. I'm optimistic we can do better things. Yeah.
Hey, Terry, thanks a lot. We got other people
sure.
here. Okay, thanks a lot, Terry. Good question. Congressman, the economy up here is still not what you call the most robust in the area. What's going on? Is there any type of, and somebody's asked this question about a development plan, you know, from the feds for Northern California. Is that something like that in the the congressmen and the senators from our state? Is there a development plan to try and bring some stuff in here?
Government isn't supposed to be developing plans per se. What government can do, you have enterprise zones, you have places, you know, like Redding has tried to do with Stillwater. You have areas where you try and set these up. And the state for a while supported that with enterprise zones and other types of things like that. You know, if we're just pulling back the regulatory load that makes it hard, California, is one of the worst places to do it. So even though we're in rural California where we like freedom better than they seem to like down in the city,
mm-hmm.
We still live under California's rules. So you still have to wait forever to get permits through four different agencies to do anything. And so government's role, to me, is not to be in there, trying to pick the winners and losers of who's going to get to do what, and you get this tax incentive and get that. I mean, we're not going to get rid of tax incentives per se as it is, but isn't the better way is to just let people figure out how they want to do it and have a low-cost way of initiating a process. And if they need a permit, then the permit should just cost what it takes to process the permit and not be a profit center for whichever, if it's state, city, county, mm-hmm. federal. That's not what it's supposed to be. So
I was thinking
that I look at it that way, is that if we can reel in Army Corps of Engineers from harassing my farmers and ranchers in Tehama County and keep U.S. Fish and Wildlife from stopping the hit timber harvest that needs to be happening in Shasta and Siskiyou County after fires or salvage operation because they're afraid they're going to get sued over a spotted owl. We kind of dissolve this thing. Anyway, you get where I'm going.
Yeah. There's Adam McElvain, who's running for Reading City Council. One of the things he wants to do is bring that high-speed internet, the big pipe into Reading. So we'd have, the state-of-the-art internet facilities, the capabilities here. I think it's a great idea. But it could be anywhere from $2.5 to $5 million to bring it in and set it up here in the city of Reading. Is that something you could see the feds coming in and helping us with to get that online here so we'd have that capability of bringing in more business? They don't have to build business, but what they could do is help us get that line in here.
That and rural broadband has been an issue that we've been trying to advance and having some success with in natural resources. So we need more of that because I think we should all be as connected in rural areas as the urban ones. And so for Reading, I think you would see a payoff. You'd see a payoff in that in Chico.
Absolutely.
And, it needs to be market-driven, so I'm not going to force people to run a giant cable down a down to Richvale, for example, was 250 or something. But, it gets to the point where the market working with that, and then whatever the impediments are by government to make it hard for them to do that, that's what we need to be knocking down. But there is different funds out there that you'd be tapping into. I don't know all those top of my head, but there's ways to do that. There's incentives out there. So,
but that's something you can get behind, right?
Certainly.
Okay. Now, the reason he was talking about it, and this is something we've talked about a long time, if we had that, that high-speed internet, that, the fiber optic and that, what an impact it could have, because we're already getting some tech firms up here, and it would just bring more.
We live in a great place up here, and if you could just get more people that are stuck in the Silicon Valley and people that have to take 2 or 3 hour commute in from the valley to get a job because they can't afford to live where their job is. If you got more of that high-tech type of industry, whether it's light manufacturing, medium manufacturing, or the thinkers that do that, I mean, why wouldn't they want to do that at Stillwater? Why wouldn't they want to do that at
Chico Airport,
where the living is great, So
that's exactly the thought. That's where I, come
still
up.
In California. They're still in California.
They are.
So that's why. state of Jefferson is making so much sense to so many people. So,
oh, so, you know, oh, well, just open that one up, the can up. Just open that can up there. But it's true. You know, again, we go back into the representation. Okay, our guest is Congressman Doug Amalfa. I want to take a quick break. And, Congressman, I come back after this. Tell us what, you know, the big things you're working on right now, the things that you see are going to happen in the next few months. I see Obama just signed the trade pact, but it doesn't mean anything until it goes through Congress. Is that correct?
Yes, the TPP
yes.
is out there, and it'll be voted on, or it's being looked at, and you know we're getting people that are calling and meeting with us and others like, here's what we like about it, here's why we like it, here's why we don't like it. So far, everything I know about the TPP doesn't look good.
Well, even the Democrats are against it. So.
Yeah, so, well, then that doesn't bode very well for it, because whatever hey, we need trade agreements, you know, whether it's one country at a time or a group of them. You know, otherwise, obviously, we don't do trade. So,
right.
But we don't have to give away the store in doing so. And I think that at the end, a trade deal that is both sides are pretty happy with is probably a fair one. But if we're always the ones, because, you know, hey, we're the United States, we're the well-off ones and all this and that, they always think that we're the ones supposed to concede everything on that. I think a deal should be good for both sides. You know, we'll buy a few of your cars, you buy some of our grain. You know, we need some of those rare earth metals that come from somewhere else, and you need some of our technology, whatever it is. It's a fair trade. This term free trade, it generally means that we kind of come up on the short end, because I'm tired of buying stuff off the shelf that says China all the time.
Oh, really? Well, that's a question. As soon as we get back from this break, I want to talk to you about that, too, because this has come up, and I'd sure like to see you, you know, wave the flag on this one and lead the charge. And we'll be right back after these messages. It's 14 minutes until 9 o'clock here on KCNR Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Mighty Fine Foods, locally owned and operated, owners Ed and Kyle DeFore. And Kyle also has a sports show, and if you've not heard it, it's 6 o'clock Tuesday evenings. This man is a walking encyclopedia of sports. You are going to love what this guy says and the things he brings up. All of this, though, is from Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop out there on the corner of 299 and the Chutes. Full deli and butcher shop, Mighty Fine Foods, locally owned, locally operated. Great people out there. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate's small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
Sierra Cascade Logging Conference celebrates the North State's logging and construction industries February 11th, 12th, and 13th at the fairgrounds in Anderson, with indoor and outdoor expo for the whole family and free admission for all. Sponsored in part by Wind River Resort and Casino, Sierra Pacific Industries, NorCal Kenworth, and Reading Bank of Commerce. This event showcases the skills and equipment that make for good forest management and quality construction. Enjoy the excavator rodeo, lumberjack competition, Wild Things Wildlife Show, exhibits, historical displays, truck driving and log loading skills competition, equipment displays, exhibits, and demonstrations. A great opportunity to teach our children about the responsible practices of this successful industry, with 3 full days of information, and it's all free to the public. The 2016 Forest Products and Construction Equipment Expo at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson. Event sponsors include Tri-Counties Bank, WM Beatty & Associates, Eddie Axner Construction, Mendocino Redwood Company, Murphy Veneer, Muse Trucking, West Coast Industrial Systems, and Warner Enterprises.
Attention, Whose Line Is It Anyway fans. Get ready for an evening of hilarious comedy with Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood February 5th at the Cascade Theater. You've watched them on TV for years. Now witness the incredible comedy of Whose Line Is It Anyway's funniest duo live. Tickets are on sale now at the Cascade box office by calling 243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org.
There's no point during this show do Brad and I know what's going on.
I think we're ready to get this show started.
All right.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, on Monday, Record Searchlight is going to be in here with their managing editor. A lot of questions for the Record Searchlight. Things that are changing over there. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Voted best in the North State for 2015. You got an emergency? They're there. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website, homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. Our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Congressman, that was a good answer on that, you know, about the trade agreement, because we do need a trade agreement, but I hope that you all are, you know, get in there and whack away at it, because, I mean, with the Democrats against it, I can't help but think there might be some Republicans. Here's the thing. Our tax on businesses is so high that it seems to be driving more businesses out of the country than
That's a funny thing, because, you know, the president, in part of the budget he's releasing, does acknowledge that I think he's looking at it like more of a short-term holiday on that, on letting people bring those dollars back into the country at a reasonable tax rate for a window of time and bring those jobs home. So Republicans have been talking about that a long time. The president sees that. Well, we carve that piece out, let's go do that right away. So that's, again, that's been attempted, but if the president's willing to propose it, then we ought to go hammer away at that. Now, will the Dems on the House floor say, oh, this is just corporate welfare, this is a giveaway to those big evil companies and all that stuff? Like, well, they're the ones that provide the jobs that you want. Do you want them to have the manufacturing here, or do you want, because of the EPA, because of trial lawyers, because of Obamacare? You know, I know that offends all them because they love Obamacare and they love those trial lawyers and they love the EPA, but that's what drives them out of the country. So they, at least right now, have the freedom to leave the country. Why not have them here? Why not have this manufacturing here? Let them repatriate those. There's like up to $2 trillion offshore that would come home to our economy if they had any confidence that they could do business for more than 2 years in a row under a certain set of rules and taxation and criteria, et cetera. So if the president's talking about this, let's run down to the White House and say, hey, let's just hammer this one right out. Let's do that. You know, give them a legacy you can leave town on in 350 days that'll be a successful one.
Well, that's the question. Is, it seems like we should be able, if we can drop it down, so we're no longer the highest taxing nation in the world on our businesses. I mean, couldn't we do a way to force them back into here? Let's start building things. Let's start bringing the companies back. I just saw another huge.
You said the word force. I don't ever like to use the government for force unless it's the military.
Encourage them to come back in.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's like this other huge company, and I can't remember the names, and they just merged. I mean, multi-billion-dollar company, and they're moving their headquarters to Ireland. Ireland. Sure. And the whole thing is because of taxes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
They're not stupid. They're going to go where they can operate, because it's hard enough to be in business with the things of just being in competition in the business world. So but, you know, when you talk about incentive, one of the things the president has in this budget proposal is a $10 per barrel oil tax. So just when a lot of the country is starting to enjoy a bit of relief from $2.50 up to $3, you know, before that even more, gasoline and fuel, says, well, we can't let that come down too far without government coming in and vacuuming up that difference too. So he wants to hit at that. I think it's going to be about a quarter a gallon.
Jeez.
And I've done a lot of travel in the East Coast and the Midwest lately, you know, and we in California are enjoying a good $1 a gallon on average higher cost of fuel.
Oh yeah.
So just keep listening to that, dear listeners there, and keep stewing on that, and tell your friends, tell your Bay Area friends, your LA friends that you internet with or whatever, that we get to pay, you know, and when you get into the city there, it goes up to $3 and even more depending where you are. So we're the suckers for that. And Jerry Brown still doesn't think we have enough money to build highways. He's still got the high-speed rail project going. He's got $250 million to tear out dams and all sorts of other things, illegal immigrants getting benefits. We don't have enough money to fix our highways. Because what they're coming with now, and Oregon already has a program that's in a pilot place. California wants a pilot, too.
Oh, yeah. They're asking for volunteers.
A per-mile tax.
Yep.
Okay? That really offends me and for me and my constituents here because we have to drive farther to do things, whether it's our job or just going.
It's like the fire tax.
Yes.
For us out here up in the north, when we have to drive someplace, unlike the people in the cities, and here's another, what, they punish us for doing.
There's a car tax with your registration, yeah. The fire tax if you live out there, now it's going to be the driver tax. And so we're going to, and it's not just a state idea, it's also a federal idea that people are talking about back there, too. So Oregon has it as a pilot thing where you get this, now you have, they're going to put a GPS thing on 5,000 volunteer cars just to test it, to beta test it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can report each month and have that new bill to hit. You got a new bureaucracy. You have, and at the end of the day, some might say, what's the reform process? It'll be easier. We'll make sure those electric cars pay their fair share. Well, that's fine. Just slap a fee on the electric cars. You know, electric cars get incentives for people to buy them of up to $5,000 to $8,000.
So sure.
There's government money going to people to go buy those cars. Why don't we cut that pipeline off, and then they can pay in for what their mileage is. Not mileage, but just some, whatever it is. Since they're not paying to use the roads like everybody else has to, then we'll figure out a mechanism. But see, this is a little bit like Obamacare. They want to slap this entire thing over everybody's car costs, just like they did on everybody's health insurance, instead of just targeting the people that are, in this case, if electric cars are going scot-free, then just figure out a way to have them pay their part and don't ruin it for everyone else. Because you can have a new bureaucracy, and you can have GPS systems on your car that can keep track of where you drive, how much you drive.
And where you are. Yeah, all right. Oh, that's great. That's what we want from the government. Hey, Congressman, there's at least four people that I know of have thrown their hats in the ring to run against you this year.
Oh, that happens with elections.
They're Republicans. I find that in, but there's no Democrats. There's no Democrats running, but there are Republicans.
Oh, we're hearing about one out there getting petition signed, so,
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. You just expect this?
Of course. It's,
it's America.
A member of Congress is a pretty big deal, So there's people that aspire to do that. Some people think that they always wanted to be a congressman. Some people think I'm doing a terrible job. So, there's various reasons why people are doing it. So I think we're doing a pretty good job with the assets and the resources we have. But, it's not up to me to, give myself a grade. The voters do that every 2 years. And so we're trying to be as responsive and get around the district as best we can. It's harder at the federal level than the state because of that extra 2,500 miles each week. But, I love what I'm doing here, and my staff are great people and the type of people that are to help folks, not just to have a cool job or whatever. It's a hard-working job, and they don't get paid for all the hours they put in. And so,
they've always been really responsive when I've called. At least when I've called. Hey, Congressman, what's the hottest thing that's going on back there that you all are, everybody's like fired up. I'm not talking about the election, but what's the hottest thing going on back in the House right now?
Well, it's we have a new speaker, and so we're really trying to hit the so-called reset button and start things off here at the beginning of the year with a very clean approach here. We had that horrible omnibus bill that, that sandwich was choked down, and it's done. Actually, there was good elements of that bill, so is it a 51-49, what have you. It wasn't very good as far as I ultimately couldn't support it because it was skewing our debt problem here. We're hitting the $19 trillion mark now, and I don't want to put off any longer us reaching that balanced budget trajectory. But the hardest thing of all this here, the third rail stuff, is that we can keep cutting and scrimping on the discretionary part of our federal budget, which is about a third of it. Two-thirds is pretty much automatic cruise control, which means, they're called entitlements, they're called whatever they are. People resent calling Social Security entitlement. So it is something people have paid into, and they have a right to get out what they paid into it. But the problem is there's more people taking out of it than have put into it, and they're getting out of it more than they've paid into it. And so there's a fallacy of and how that works. And we're seeing that. We're going to, between that and Medicare, you know, we have numbers that are going to come crashing hard upon the rocks in just not that many years. One of my Arizona colleagues spoke up in our conference meeting yesterday where we all gather once or twice a week, and he said, look, these numbers, guys and gals, are going to hit us hard, really, really hard. And those programs will be broken simply because of the mountainous debt that they're each one of them are addressing. So what we have to do, and again, what will happen in this administration, or at least can we put the ideas on the table during this year and move on them, you know, starting in January 2017, is that people have to acknowledge that the entitlements, or whatever you want to call them, have to be modified or have to be made on a trajectory that are long-term sustainable, because they aren't. The government, federal government, has stolen or borrowed too much money from Social Security Fund. It shouldn't have done it to begin with. Can any private outfit with people's pensions or 401ks or whatever borrow that money without having a sustainable way to pay it back? You know, it
just doesn't work like that. Hey, Congressman, I hate to cut you off, but here, it's been an hour. I really appreciate you calling in, Congressman, because it's always good being able to ask you questions and have find out what's going on back there. So
we're gonna keep communicating. We'll have our telephone town hall calls will be going out pretty soon, and we're trying to be in the mail, trying to be on the radio and TV, because we want people to know what we're doing and why, and so the public will pay attention and listen to what we're talking about and ask us the questions. We're happy to do it. So
great,
important part of this process.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And to you. especially to the lovely Linda. Okay.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, and to your family. Just take care out there. Thanks a lot, Congressman.
Thank you. See you.
Okay, this is Carl Bott. We're running a little bit over the news right now, but on Monday the Record Searchlight will be here, and with Carol Ferguson, the managing editor. A lot of things going on this weekend. Tonight at the Cascade, whose line is it anyway? A group. You've got the Crab Feed for the Sons of Italy tonight. There's a lot of things going on this weekend. Of course, Super Bowl Sunday, and then the Crab Feed on Saturday with, of course, One Safe Place. All these things going on. Great, great time in the cancer. Also, the Cancer League's got their thing going. Have a good weekend. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys.